Okay, welcome back. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas Arthur. We're presently engaged in a study in the book of Genesis. And if you missed the first hour, it's on the archives at crosstheborder.org, or will be shortly if it's not there now. Okay, we left off, we were talking about how our Heavenly Father created the light before he created the light fixtures. Interesting. Why would someone create a light fixture if they didn't have a light source? I guess I could put it that way. That would be kind of silly. Well, I'm going to make a light fixture, but, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So anyway, my contention is that he created light before he created the sun, the moon, the stars. And he said, let there be light, and there was light. He saw the light, that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I got up this morning. It was dark. It was evening, by definition. I know in contemporary definition we say evening, and that's after the afternoon, the light part of the day, the later light part of the day. When it becomes dark, it's evening. Well, there's a lot of truth to that, because the evening precedes the day in the scripture from the beginning. The darkness preceded the light, because darkness was on the face of the deep. And then he said, let there be light. He divided the light from the darkness. So we have a progression here, or a procession of darkness and then light. That's the division. When he created the light, he created the division. That's what it says. He saw the light, it was good. He divided the light from the darkness. That's a further commentary on what just happened, what he did. He divided the light from the darkness. He didn't do it later. He did it when he created it. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And of course, I'm reading in English here. It was yom, day, and night was layel, layel, in the Hebrew. And I'm sure that my pronunciation, I'm massacring the original language. And he says, the evening and the morning were the first day. So we know that an evening and a morning is a day, according to the scripture. These are not long periods of time. These are not ages of time. These are evening and morning days. This is darkness, evening, followed by morning, or day, daylight, period of the day. These are regular cycles, like we experience today. I'm not going to say they're 24 hours, unless the 24 hours is dependent upon the light. Because I know that, you know, actually, the rotations and the tilts and of the planets and everything is slowing down, and so on and so forth, and all of that. So I can't say that a 24-hour day is the same as a day was then, that it's the exact number of seconds. But if it's relative to this cycle, these evening and morning cycles, yes, it's absolutely the same. If our clock is the cycle, it doesn't change. It's always an evening and a morning. And it is to this day an evening and a morning. Let us continue. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Okay. Now we know, up to this point, we have this globe, this perfect sphere that has deep water on it. There's no form, there's no void. It's without form and void. So we know that this water is deep, and there's no mountains on it, there's no continents, there's no trees, there's no planets. All we have is light, and the Creator has at this point moved upon the face of the waters. And he said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now this firmament is not land, because we continue, and you'll see that. Verse 7, and God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So now we have this perfect sphere, maybe with some waves on it, obviously, if he moved, if he shook the planet. And, you know, I would venture to say that any of us would shake at the appearance of the Creator. And he had waters above. So there was water above. There was water below on the surface of the planet. There was no land. And so the firmament is a space, perhaps much like the atmosphere that we have today. And we have water above in clouds, but I'm not sure these were clouds. They were definitely water above. So there's water below, and there's water above, and there's a space between the waters called the firmament. And it was so. And he called the firmament heaven. So we have our atmospheric heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said in verse 9, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So now we have continents. We have water, and we have earth. He said, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And our heavenly Father saw that it was good. And he said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed. He said it. He said, let it be. And it was so. Imagine that technology. We have to slave to make anything here. We have to devote ourselves to designing and engineering. But this is the power of our Creator. This is the creative power that he employed. And we know that he did all this in less than a day in each instance, or at least in one cycle of evening and morning, that he brought forth, that he placed a firmament, separated the waters from above, from the waters below, and then he separated the land on the third day. He created the seas and separated the land from the sea, and it brought forth grass and herb yielding seed, yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So everything he created, not only did he create these things, this technology, and bring it forth, but he made this technology so that it would be self-reproducing and have the seed for itself in itself. And, well, the evidence is all around us that this is how it is. Much better than the fairy tales of all the fertility gods, isn't it? Just so simple, so straightforward. And the evening, okay, and the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, his seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And it was good. And we look around and we go, yeah, this is good. I mean, look at this technology. Compare it with anything that man can do. We can only try to copy it with crude copies and inventions. We call them inventions. All we're doing is copying his creation, taking this portion and that portion and trying to recreate it. Everything that man makes was already here in one form or another. We've just borrowed a little here, a little there. And he saw that it was good. Yes, it is good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So here we have another evening and morning, another darkness portion of day, followed by a portion of light day. An evening and a morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So now we have the lights in the firmament of heaven, the sun, the moon. He goes on, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. He made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. So even at night, we know we have light. You got your night vision goggles out? They amplify what light is there. So there is a light at night during the dark part of the day. We have a night light. How about that? And the lesser light to rule the night. Also, he also said, let them be for signs and for season and for days and for years. So he set his calendar in the cosmos, in the universe. He set his calendar in the sky, in the heavens. Now, I don't know how this worked with the light, with the water above, and of course the water was in the seas below, which he separated in land and had the earth and the grass and all that on him. But there was still this water above. And he created a firmament between the water and the water. And of course we know that we have, if we have water in our atmospheres, we do today, clouds, we know that the stars and the moon and the sun are all outside of that firmament. Now, Kent Hovind, whom I greatly respect, he suggests that the water canopy was clear ice that you could see through, that even possibly magnified the heavens. Anything's possible. And he says before the flood, that's what we had. That's what he believes. That's a good possibility. Because how could they see the moon and the stars if it was clouds or if it was an opaque in any way? It had to be a clear water that they could see through. So perhaps it was right, ice. And he has other reasons. And if you're really interested in that, you should get Kent Hovind's videos. You can go to Dr. Dino. .com, D-I-N-O.com, doctor, D-R-D-I-N-O.com, and look up his videos. You can also obtain those from the network, FirstAmendmentRadio.com, that you're listening to on their shopping page. Very interesting, but something to think about. But we know there was water up there, and we can only speculate to the form of the water, because it's hard to believe that they could see what through any other form like clouds or an opaque or what we have today. There was no separation between the waters in above the firmament that is described here, but there's a separation of the waters below the firmament on the face of the earth where the dry land appeared, but I don't see that of the waters that were above the firmament. So that speculation by our good friend Kent Hovind is a very likely possibility. And it would explain some other things, too, which we won't go into. So I suggest you get that series by Kent Hovind and look into that. Okay, he made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and he set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And Yahuwah and God, our Heavenly Father, Creator, saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. He put his calendar in the sky. And if you consider like the word month, now we all know that the word month is derived from the moon. We could actually say month. Of course, we wouldn't say month today, because the calendar months as we know them in contemporary times are not determined by the moon anymore. They've been taken away from his calendar, which he placed in the sky, and he declared here that they are to divide the day from the night, let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So we're to determine the years by these, and the months and the days by these lights in the sky. He placed his calendar in the sky, and if we learn his calendar, we'll always know what day it is, what month it is. We'll always know when his Sabbath is by looking at the moon. And that's another study, too, which we will get into when the time is appropriate. The evening and the morning were the fourth day, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that have life, and fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So we have the fish, the moving creatures in the water, and we have the fowl that fly between the water that's below and the earth and the water that's above the firmament. And he created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And you have to notice something about the after his kind. Everything after its kind. And this is to further emphasize the idea that his creation, his technology, which is all around us, which we are a part of, is a self-reproducing technology. That the technology for reproducing it is in the technology itself. And this is evident around us in the creation. And everything produces after its kind. It's like, you know, if you have a bird and a reptile, you aren't going to get a hybrid. You know, reptiles will always beget reptiles, and birds will always beget birds. It just goes against the whole idea of evolution, of the evolution of higher beings from lower beings, which is not being demonstrated today, and that's evidence that it never happened. Certainly we have variations on kinds, as just evidenced by the different kinds of man we have. So they have different kinds of birds, different kinds of dogs, but they're all the same kind. It's like, to use Kent Hovind's illustration, you know, he has a chart on it, and it has a wolf, a coyote, a chihuahua, and a banana. You know, which one is not the same kind? Oh, a five-year-old can figure it out. Or if you put a whale on there, it's not the same kind. Everything after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And here we have it, evening and morning. And it's still happening today, evening and morning. You have the people that call themselves Jews. They still hold to this idea that they have from the scripture itself, that in evening, that the day starts in the evening. And the morning is a day, the evening and the morning. So are we to get from this emphasis that is placed on every cycle of creation, every day cycle of creation, evening and morning? Are we supposed to get some kind of idea that this was an age? And how about the gap theory and all of these theories that have been put forth? No, an evening and a morning was a day then, and an evening and a morning is still evidence today that nothing has changed in the 6,000 years since the beginning. As we read, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth, and we know that on the sixth day he created man, so that if we could accurately, through the genealogies, accurately count back the years and the days to the creation of Adam on the sixth day, that all we'd have to do is add 6 days to that number, and we would know how old our very universe is. Oh, in the world, I would be so ridiculed for saying something like that. There's this video out called Zeitgeist, and I put out a video response to it called Anti-Zeitgeist. And this guy on there, this comedian, ridicules. You know, these people believe that the earth is only 10,000 years old, and he's a comedian, of course, so he has everyone laughing at us, at being ridiculed for this idea that the earth is only 10,000 years old. Well, I hate to say it, but it's worse than that. If you're looking for something to ridicule, I don't even believe that the universe is more than 6,000 years old. And I don't know which phone is ringing. Okay. Took care of that. I'm sure it was a spam phone call, if there's such a thing. So anyway, so this comedian is ridiculing anyone who believes that the universe is less than 10,000 years old. So this guy must know something that I don't know. Now, he thinks he knows something. He believes an image that has been placed in his mind by others, by the people that control and shape the image of the mainstream world, that control and shape the image of the, these are people that have money and have a They don't want you to believe in a creator. They don't want you to believe in a higher power. They want you to believe that only man has the answers, and you need only look to man, that man has all the answers for himself, for all of the questions, and for all of the problems of mankind. So they ridicule anyone who does not believe the image that is made by man. Well, I refuse to worship their image. I refuse to bow down to any image created by man. They cannot prove that the earth is 10,000 or more years old any more than I can bring forth evidence which will prove that it is only 6,000 years old. What do we say? Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. They don't have faith. They don't believe this book. And half the people that say, probably more than half the people that say they believe this book, they don't have faith either. They don't really believe it. They have to, I was at that point one time, that I believe God used evolution to create the universe. But upon studying the scriptures, I came to a different conclusion, that this book is right. My faith grew. I came to understand that I could not bow down to an image made by man. And if you worship the image, if you worship an image made by man, that is, you obey that image. Because what you believe determines how you act. So if you obey an image created by man, you are worshiping an image. Because the highest form of worship is obedience. And if you obey what you believe, but what you believe is an image created by men, then you are worshiping an image. You are an idolater. Throw off the idolatry and believe like a child the pure word of our Heavenly Father as revealed to us through His Holy Spirit. That's what I want you to do. I want you to put off the knowledge and the image, and I want you to search for the truth and only accept the truth. Because if you're honest, you have to at least say, there's no way I can know how old the earth is. And everything that these people are telling me are just things that they've made up, things that they want to believe, things that they want me to believe. But there's no way they can know either. They weren't here a million years ago. They weren't here 10,000 years ago. They weren't here 6,000 years ago. But I have a record from men that were here almost 6,000 years ago. And this is what they wrote. How do I know that what they're telling me is true? I've met the Creator. I am satisfied with the evidence that He has given me personally. I can't give you that evidence. I can't prove to you that He even exists. I can show you a lot of different things. I can try to lead you to see what I see, but I can't make you see what I see. Here comes our break. Join me for the next segment.